produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Sanbonan Bazalwan, and you are listening to Mfundisi Uthandwe Nyoni from the United Kingdom Radio Network USA World. And the name of our program is called Uncede on Indiza Nathi. This show is produced by Kayla Paget. Welcome to the broadcast today. It's a good day. It's a good day to every person that is listening through the sound of my voice. It's a day, ilanga, that the Lord has made, that we are rejoicing and that glad in it. In fact, we are declaring good. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice in it. The whole world, sisase, with this curve or in this epidemic, or that is king harassment, if I should put it that way, coronavirus. I call it harassment because it has come and it has kind of changed the lives not only in South Africa but emhlabeni wonke jikelele. And in the midst of this challenges or illnesses, it is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing in that letting it. Unkulunkulu womhlaba, unkulunkulu odala umhlaba nakho konke, he's the great I am. Umuntu wena muntu thina abantu semhlabeni sadalwa uyena. U-Psalm 24 uthi umhlaba ungokaJehova nokugcwala kwawo nabakhele kuwona. So it is the beautiful day. It's the day that the Lord has made. I'm declaring it. It is the day that the Lord has made. Therefore, we are rejoicing and glad in it. So, sanbonani, good evening, good day. If it's a good morning, because I can understand when this is broadcast in a different country, it's a different time zone altogether. I'm in South Africa, I'm in Soweto. For me, it's a different time zone. So I would say good morning, I would say good day, I would say good evening. Whichever time it is in your part of the world, it is the day that the Lord has made. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. Wow. Jesus. I feel like singing. I wish there was a worshiper somewhere who can just blast in song, just worship and just say, in him there is no failure. In him there is no failure. In him there is no failure. Jesus, he's the Lord of Lords. He's the great I am. Father God, we invite you unto our radio program this day. We say, akekho fana nawe, ungumlilo, ungusonini nanini, ungamadida, ungumenzo wento zonke. I pray for each and every person that listens through the sound of my voice. Lord, may your anointing permeate through their hearts and souls. May your word speak on our behalf in the name of Jesus. Amen. During this period of the epidemic of coronavirus, most families have either drawn closer together, glued by love, or they have drawn apart because of strife, depression, hatred, unforgiveness, issues of the past, whatever issues there are. For those of us who need to preach, and for those of us who have to take their positions in Mhlabeni, let's realize one thing. Ukuthi without love, we do nothing. Without God, we do zilch, nothing. It is the blood, it is the character, it is uJesu Kristu uqobo lwakhe okwazi ukuhlanganisa imindeni. Love is kind. Kindness brings back families together. Love is patient. Patience in the bush, shatamata. Love, it keeps no record of wrongs. Yes, siyalimazana kuma families. For the families that are drawing apart, some couples may divorce because of these hardships. Of Jesus, endebo shenda mata, ukulimala kwenhliziyo.
But when love comes, when jealousy leaves, when warmth and peace comes, forgiveness reigns, peace reigns. Uthando luhlanganisa imindeni ekaze yahlukana for years. But that love can only be found in Christ. Alikhe emtwini, malise emtwini, lisibase emtwini ngoba lifakwe uNkulunkulu, because uNkulunkulu he is the one that pours out his love to us. Usho njalo kuRomans ukuthi he pours out himself kithi. Fana nefaith. It's poured out to us. It is for us to exercise it. In fact, iBhayibheli malisitshela ukuthi love is kind. It tells us the character yothando so that we practice it. But what I love the most about uthando, what I said we were talking about today, ukuthi love never fails. Against all odds, you can have a family that gets to be broken because of issues of the past, siblings fighting one another, they stay away from one another for years, husbands divorcing their wives, children disrespecting or staying away from their parents, or whatever the case may be. But there is a God in heaven who one day puts a sense in one person and says, "Ah, man, that family must come together." Love brings back families. I'm sure you have heard of stories where a couple has divorced years back, but somehow they have found a way back to one another. Maybe you've heard a story of a child who has lost parents, or they gone estranged with their parents, but years later they found themselves, they found their way back to their to ekhaya, to their parents. Maybe you've heard a story of siblings who have had strife, bitterness, fighting within them for years on end, but because of love, a seed of love planted somewhere, God bringing those siblings back together. I don't know about you, but I'd rather stay in the hands in nyaweni zika Jesu. Because makuthiwa love never fails, that is the period, that is what we are talking about, ukuthi even if we may fight, even if, you know, because there's a verse 80, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. What does that? It's love that delivers you out of, those families, have you ever noticed, ukuthi what has drawn people apart may just never be, but when they come together and realize, ukuthi, no man, they've wasted so much years apart from one another, for what? And they realize that love is more powerful than anything else. In 2016, there was a pastor friend of mine who passed on, and he used to be my leader. I'm not going to mention his name for protecting his family. But in our business and work environments, we used to have arguments a lot, like more of arguments, argue on certain things, even though we worked quite well together. But I remember on the day when he was buried, you know, when somebody dies, somebody that you care about, somebody that you love, and when all else, because it's like the sun has set, like say sekushonile, like in life yomuntu mayicisha ilanga seliphelile sekehambile emhlabeni, when that coffin goes down the ground, I remember thinking to myself at that moment, ngithiyane leza zimbi, we're not worth it, leza zimbi. That fight, those fights, were not like they were worthless at that time, very worthless. So what am I saying to the world and to us today, Uti? Let's not waste time in fights. Let not waste time in strife. Let's allow God to help us to walk in love. For love never fails. Bazalwane, we are continuing with our subject or series on love. And obviously, our main scripture is 1 Corinthians 13 from verse 1 to the first part of verse 8. Today, I'm not going to read the whole verse 1 to verse part of verse 8. I'll start from verse 4 and I'll end up just with part of verse 4, verse 8. My God. I'm reading from then a New King James Version. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek his own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Then the first paragraph, verse 8, it is, love never fails. That is what this is where I need us to zoom in, Will. A part, the part that says, love never fails. Bazalwane, God never fails. God is love. God will not fail us. What is born of God overcomes the world, even our faith. He will not fail us. Love never fails. When he created the universe, when he created us, he gave us dominion. He gave us the right to rule and dominate. It is up to us as South Africans. It is up to us as citizens of the world, in the United Kingdom, in the US, or where, in Africa, wherever you are listening from. It is up to us to declare and take our positions in the kingdom of God. God is love, and love never fails. I may sound like I'm shouting. I'm not. I'm not shouting. I'm irritated by the reality that we are subjected to, as if God akanamandla, as if God is not able. Again, we said in Ephesians, we always say when we read Ephesians 3 verse 20, we say, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we know, ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work in us. What is the power that is in us? The very power that raises Christ from the dead is this power that lives in the inside of us. The Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. What is coronavirus at the end of the day? Because if I believe Jesus, he cures us, he heals us from all sins. That is in Psalms 103. I guess I sound a bit irritated, maybe, if I have to be honest. But the truth be told, God is love. Going back to our very session on love, we said love is kind. You know, when something is kind, it's very gentle. You know, I am seeing though. You know, it also says here, Huri, it's ande boshinda menengeke ande boshinda mata. It's not puffed up, you know. It's not provoked. It's not, you know, aiko boastful. It's gentle. It's patient. Love is kind. Okay, let me just make a serious example of is the sun. We all know the sun, and it's Sipile Mhlabeni. Every morning, the sun comes out. I want to link the warmth, the sun, and the character of the sun to uthando. The sun doesn't make any noise, the sun. It doesn't complain for that matter. It keeps on doing its work. It's like love. Love is not jealous. Love is kind. Love protects. Love trusts. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love just is always. So when you think and look at the sun, ilanga liyaphuma every day without fail. Without fail. The sun comes out without fail. As long as we live kulo mhlaba, ilanga liyaphuma. NeBhayibheli liyasho ukuthi, hey, and they will shenda, see time and harvest time. Ilanga liyap, ne papi liyavumelana nalo ukuthi i-earth yawenza umsebenzi wawo. Ilanga liphuma every day. Isama, iwinter, iautumn, ispring, liyaphuma ilanga. Liphuma lilethe ilight ntokuqala. Liyasitshela ukuthi sekusile. It's morning. liyasitshela ukuthi sekuhlwile. It's sunset and it's night, it's becoming dark. Liyabuya lisinikeze ukuthula, i-warmth. When it's cold, when it's winter, siyalibawela ilanga. Siyalifisa ngoba i-warmth yalo it comforts our bodies when we are cold. Ilanga in summer and in spring it brings life to even itshalo. Ilanga, Jesus, it does more. That is why when umuntu esebenza athi I'd rather work when it's still daylight. Makuse ukhlwile, it's time uqoqa amathulusi okusebenza and go home. So ilanga gives us the privilege to exercise activity and authority in our lives. So does love. Love is kind. In fact, love is just perfect. God is love, and God expects us to always walk in love. What do you do when you feel unloved? What do you do when you think God is not there in your life? What do you do when you think uthando alixists? Let's just think about it. Before we conclude our session for today, and before we do our announcements, Kancede Protégé, please allow me, or let's allow anybody out there in the world who says to themselves what they wouldn't say to me directly, who says to themselves, but who is this Jesus that Mfundisi Unyoni is talking about? Who is this Savior that the world has preached about? I have not known him. I have not received him. Maybe, yes, you have not. But please allow me to tell you that life, it's only in him. He's uyindlela. Uyindlela neqiniso. He's the great I am. Uyisiqalo nesiphetho. IBhayibheli lithi uJehova walithandize kwangaka waze wanikela ngendodana yakhe. Bayilo naloyo okholwa yona angabhubhi kodwa benokuphila okuphakade. Ukuphila okuphakade, it's found in Christ. Uphila in this world and uphila na out of this world. Hell and heaven are real places. When you leave this earth, it's either you go to hell or you go to the Father in heaven. The choice is yours. But I'm not scaring you. I'm just telling you the reality of our lives as human beings. But whilst we are on this earth, we have the right to say yes to Christ. We have the right, as according to Romans 10. And as the Bible says, if you believe in your heart and you say it with your mouth that he is Lord, then you are saved. And as on the Protégé and as on Mfundisi Unyoni, I would like you to join in and do this prayer together with me. Ovume and agree with God and allow and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart to make you a new creation so that all things will pass away, so that you can understand this kind of peace and love that we speak about as human beings, as we say, uthando lungaka lutholakala kuJesu. Pray with me this prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for me, and I believe that you are raised from the dead. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Make me your child. Make me Ndeboshata. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I am a child of God. I am born again. If you made that prayer, there is celebration in Ntlokomo ozulwini. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, you are holy, Lord. There is no other. We pray for each and every person that has received you on this day. It's marked in heaven that so and so has received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and their names become written in the book of life.
Lord, may each and every person that has received you namhlanje, may they be fully entrenched in your word. May they never be snatched away from you. May the hand of the enemy be removed from their hearts, from their hands, for their lives, from their families, in the name of Jesus. May you do a spectacle, Lord Ngabo. Ngoba the Bible also says ukuthi wenza in the Boshenda matter, umehluko when you went to hell and took the keys. Do in the wonders in their own lives. Whatever that has been stolen in their lives, the keys, zempilo zabo, may they be returned back to them. Kulomzuzu, in the name of Jesus. May everybody that has received Jesus Christ, Lord, know who they are in you. May they find their lives. May they read the word of God. May they seek your face all the days of their lives. Lord, may you guide them to find a church or a place of worship that teaches your word and only surrenders to you all the days of their lives. Father, we thank you, ngoba wena so wenzi lumsebenzi, and it's marvelous in our eyes. In the name that is above every other name, the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Bazalwane, as I conclude, I would like to invite you to our motivational wellness session, which is going to be hosted on Zoom online. It's on the 29th of August. We are hosting three speakers. Miss Kanyisile, sorry. I love Kanyisile. Kanyisile was on the last session. Mrs. Kazile Nkatane, she'll be talking on umshado and the expense umshado, the expense umshado. She's talking about love, but she talks about love in marriage and the life, what it means to be in marriage. Let me not ruin the hair topic. Then we have Prophetess Umgoma. She'll be talking about personal branding. She's the business lady. She's also a prophetess. Then we have Mr. Lebuntuke, who's talking about financial wisdom. He's a apostle at the same time. He's a financial academic. Graduate. Let me say he's an accountant. His financial education. He's educated in finance. Yeah, that's the right way. So you are invited to this session on the 29th of August. And for music, we have a young lady by Undom Futhi Mahlobo. I almost forgot her surname. She's a member at my church at Pentagon Global Fellowship Ministries, and she'll be serenading us with music on the day. And obviously, the other speakers will follow, and on the other sessions as well. Obviously, we invite the presence of God on the day. May they speak as through the oracles zikaNkulunkulu, kube ngazathi kukhuluma uNkulunkulu qobo lwakhe as they speak, even though they are talking about life issues. But life issues are God's issues. So bazalwane, we are invited to this session. We have a 10 o'clock session, which 10 a.m. South African time, 12 p.m. South African time. We also have a 2 p.m. session. It's on Zoom. If you are interested to join in with us, please send me a WhatsApp on this number, 084-669-3615, 084-669-3615. Again, if you need counseling, we are a company that does counseling, that does motivation and strategic planning. We are available to offer these services at a cost. The same number that we gave you for the WhatsApp is the same number that you send your request for us to offer a service to you. Either motivation, whether counseling or strategy planning. The number, I repeat it, is 084-669-3615. In so saying, I'd like to thank God for this session for today. And I would like to also thank the United Kingdom Radio Network USA World, especially Kyla Paget and my CEO this side in South Africa, Mr. Chikotu. In the name that is above every other name, I thank you and I say God bless and goodbye. Love you. Bye-bye.
Produced by Caleb Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers. 1-888-201-5313.
Well, praise God. We give God the glory one more time for having given us the opportunity to connect in His Word and to fellowship in His Word, to have a great time in His presence and in the Word of God. We thank God coming all the way from South Africa, bringing greetings to all the brethren around the world on glorifying God with Pastor Dreadwell Zabani from South Africa. Well, today on the program, I want us to look at the question of one of the most important things that we need to consider as and when we continue to glorify God. It becomes very, very important for us to understand that there are certain things that we need to look into and that we need to make sure that they are in place in order if we are ever going to be able to glorify God. And one of those things which becomes very, very important for us to glorify God is to deal with the past effectively. So I want us to look into the question of dealing with the past, in order to glorify God. Bad things that happen to us leave us with bad memories, which can become quite a challenge to deal with. These negative events imprint bad memories in our minds, which we then have to overcome in order to move on with our lives, especially after a bad experience in life. It could be in your life in general. It could be in business. It could be in your studies, in your relationship. It could be in your marriage. It could be that you've been through a divorce. It could be that it's family related. But these things can become, you know, the bad events that have happened in the past can become quite a challenge to overcome and to deal with. And they can actually prevent us from moving on, moving forward, and glorifying God in our lives. So how then do we make sure that we overcome these things and that we are able to glorify God despite what has happened to us in the past? And I want us to look at, before we move any further, look at the effects of bad memories. In other words, what bad memories can do in a person's life. Number one is that, you know, they present you with very, very difficult questions to which you seek to find answers. You know, these are some of the questions that come into a person's mind when they have gone through bad experiences. Number one is, how do I go on after this? There are people battling with this question as we speak. What do I do now? Now that this has happened, now that I've been through that experience, now that I've been affected in that way, now that that has happened, what now? What do I do now? There are people who are confused and don't know what to do. The other question is, can I survive this episode? And if so, how do I survive it? You know, you don't know what to do now going forward after the experience that you have had. Now that you experienced what you experienced, what do you know? How can you survive this episode? And if so, how do you survive? Then the other question is, what do people think of me now? There are people who are so concerned about what people think about them that it actually cripples them and they are not able to move forward and do the things that they are called to do and do the things that they're purposed to do because of the fact that they view themselves in the light of what people think of them based on past experiences, based on past events, based on past, events that happened in the past. Now, then you begin to prioritize the question of what people think of you now that you've been through that. Now that, like, for instance, a person who's been through a divorce or a person who's been through a very terrible experience, you then ask yourself this question, what do people think of me now? The other question is, can I still make it in life? After a very bad and terrible experience, the question does come in one's mind, can I still make it after this? Now, I want us to look at how do we go on after a bad unpleasant or terrible experience in life. Step number one is leave the past behind. That's the first thing that you need to do, is to leave the past behind. Let it go. Let go of it. Move beyond the past. Move past, you know, your past incidents and past events. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19, I'm reading the King James, and it says, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? It will make a way, I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." This is God speaking. Now, based on this verse of scripture, Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19, a number of important points emerge. One of them is, don't live your life on the dictates of past events. Don't live your life on the dictates of past events. Don't let the things that happened in your past shape your life. Don't let the things that happened in your past determine the direction that your life ought to go or that your life is going. That's the first thing. Leave the past behind. In other words, let go of it. Arm yourself with a thinking and an attitude that says, what happened in the past, it's in the past, and I'm leaving it behind. I'm leaving it in the past. I'm moving on because I know that there are greater things that God has in store for me. So I'm not going to get stuck on the past and dwell on the past to such an extent that I become crippled and not be able to move forward. Number two is make a serious effort to put the past behind you. It's not going to come easy. It's not going to come automatically. It's not going to come naturally. But you have to put forth the effort. You have to make the effort to put the past behind you. In other words, there's no one who can do it for you. No one who can do it on your behalf. You have to make the effort to put the past behind you. Number three, don't let temporary setbacks determine your path of life. Don't let temporary setbacks determine your path of life. When certain bad and unpleasant things and experiences and events occur and unfold in life, they often set us back from our quest to attain to the purpose of God and the calling of God in our life. They often set us back momentarily and temporarily so from pursuing our goals and our objectives in life. So now it becomes very important for us that once we have these kind of experiences, we don't allow these temporary setbacks to determine our path of life. In other words, you don't end up throwing in the towel and giving up simply because you have been set back temporarily because of a bad experience in your life. Don't let that determine your path of life. Choose the path of life that you know God wants you to pursue, and pursue that with all your might and with all determination, not on the basis of what happened to you in the past. Number four that I want us to look at is build your character on the word of God, not on your past events and experiences. Build your character on the word of God and not on the past events and experiences. That's very, very important. Or the building of character is one of the most important things that must be prioritized and must be treated with the utmost seriousness if we are going to move past our, you know, beyond our past experiences and move on to glorify God by fulfilling everything that he has told us to do, by being fruitful and multiplying in everything that we do. So I want us to take a moment and look at character because it's very, very important. Build your character on the word of God. What does that mean? What does character entail? What does the building of character entail? Number one, I'm going to look at a few things here. The first thing that becomes an important building block to character is morality. Don't lose your moral values because of past experiences, because of unpleasant experiences, because of bad experiences, because of being treated badly in the past, because of, you know, negative things that could have occurred and happened in the past as you are moving on in your life. Maintain your morality. Don't lose your moral values. Always seek to hold on to your moral values. Don't let past bad and unpleasant experiences cause you to lose your moral values. There are many people who end up losing their moral values because of events of the past. The second thing that character entails is honesty. Be honest to yourself. Be honest to God. Be honest to everyone in all that you do. Don't now begin to become dishonest simply because you were treated badly in the past, simply because you had bad experiences, simply because of events that were very unpleasant that could have happened in the past. Always be honest in all that you do. Number three is integrity. And by integrity, what I mean is be principled in your behavior. In everything that you do, live according to certain godly, biblical, scriptural principles. Choose your principles carefully. Choose your principles deliberately and decide, make a decision and a commitment to live according to those principles. Be principled. Be a principled person. Don't lose your integrity because of past events. Number four is respectability. Always make sure that you maintain your respectability. Let your behavior force people to respect you. You will remember that Paul said to Timothy, let no one look down on you because you are young. Instead, become in speed and purity, in love and faith and in behavior, an example to all those who believe. So then you must make sure that you do not lose your respectability, either because of past and unpleasant experiences, mistakes that you may have committed in the past and people are aware of them. Don't let that make you lose your respectability. Always let your behavior force people to respect you. Behave in such a way that even if people desire to disrespect you and desire to dishonor you and desire to look down on you and despise you, but your behavior will force them to acknowledge the fact that it is impossible to disrespect someone who behaves in this particular way. The next one is rectitude. And by rectitude, I mean live a decent life. Be decent about everything you do. Be decent in the manner in which you speak. Be decent in your dress code. Be decent in your behavior. Be decent in your interaction with other people. Be decent in everything and about everything that you do in and around your life. And then the next one is honor. That is also one of the most important building blocks of character. Be honorable in all that you do. And the next one is courage. Now, by courage, I mean act in spite of feelings of fear. You see, often when things happen in our lives, they can instill in us a fear to take action, a fear to move forward because of, you know, the little voice of fear would seek somewhere in the back of our mind to say, what if you do this and you fail? What if you don't succeed? What if you get hurt again? What if something bad happens to you? What if you try this and it doesn't work out? What if people don't support what you do? What if people don't agree with what you do? That voice that says, what if can cripple your courage and cause you not to be able to move forward? You know, you need to act, even though those things do come and you experience those feelings of fear and doubt, but you need to then be determined to take action in spite of those feelings. That is being courageous. And God said that to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. He says, only be thou strong and very courageous. In other words, things of fear. In other words, act in spite of threats around you, threats that stand in your way. Take action, even though, you know, you can see the circumstances, even though you can see the environment that you're in, that it may not necessarily be favorable, but take action. We're going to understand this as we go on. Then the next one that becomes an important building block to character is goodness. You need to understand that bad experiences have a way of twisting and eroding one's character if allowed to do so. Move forward. You need to make an effort to make sure that you put the past behind and that you build your character on the word of God. Question then that comes is, what kind of effort is needed to achieve this? Right. We're going to look at the number of steps that we need to follow and guided by the word of God. Number one, believe what God says, not what people say or what the sect say. In other words, don't focus on what people are saying about you. Don't focus on what people are saying about your situation. Don't focus on what people are saying about your course of action. Don't focus on what people are saying as you continue to seek to obey God. Believe what God says. Don't believe what people say. Don't even look at the environment and say, because I see that the environment is not so favorable, it's going to be difficult for me to do this. No, believe what God says. If God said you can do it, then you can do it. If God said you will do it, then you will do it. Believe what God says. Now, it becomes clear from there that in order to believe what God says, you have to know what God says. And in order to know what God says, you have to speak to God. You have to talk to God all the time. Because if you don't talk to him, you're not going to know what he says. You have to read what he has written in his word by inspiration. And that's how you familiarize yourself with what God said. And in other words, you need to stay focused on the word, meditate on the word, read the word day and night, each and every day. Number two is, don't focus on the problem. Don't focus on the problem. If you do, you magnify it in your mind. You make it big in your mind, and then it becomes a mountain that becomes, you know, seems to be impossible for you to climb. So don't focus on the problem. Number three, don't focus on the wrong that was done. This is one of our weaknesses as human beings, is that when, certain people do wrong to us, we then focus on the wrong that was done. And we get stuck on the wrong that was done. And it cripples our ability to move forward because we are still stuck on the wrong that was done. We're thinking and meditating and analyzing so much the wrong that was done. So don't focus on the wrong. And the next one is, don't focus on the pain. You know, when you've had a painful experience, it's very tempting to keep focusing on the pain that you have felt, because that pain also cripples you, because it threatens you from moving forward because of the fear that, what if I get hurt again? What if I experience the same pain again? Or what if I experience an even worse pain than before? And so it becomes important that you don't focus on the pain. Focus on the word of God. That's the next step. Focus on the word of God. In other words, meditate on the word of God day and night. God said that to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Meditate on the word of God. Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3 also teaches us to meditate on the word of God. In verse 1, it talks about your behavior. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law does he meditate day and night. And then verse 3 talks about the result. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, whose leaves do not wither, and who brings forth fruit in his season. In other words, you will prosper in everything that he does. So now this is the result of meditating on the word of God. But the result of many taking on the pain, the result of many taking on the wrong done, the result of many taking on the problem, the result of many taking on the bad experiences is always one that will take you away from achieving your goals and your objectives. It's always one that will move you away from prosperity, but it will keep you trapped in a situation where you're not able to move forward. So the next step then is build your faith in God. Build your faith in God. It's very, very important that you learn to build your faith in God. Don't build your faith in people. Don't build your faith in circumstances. Build your faith in God. Don't build your faith even on your experiences, but build your faith in God. Now, what is faith? Faith is a firm persuasion. It's a conviction based upon hearing. That's what faith is. In other words, if you hear what God says, his word convicts you, and you become persuaded about what God says. That's what faith is. And that's according to Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things, hope, evidence of things, but it's a firm persuasion. You are firmly persuaded. You are convinced. You become convicted about what God said. In other words, you believe that what God has promised, he's also able to do. What God has promised, he's also able to deliver. Glory be to God forevermore. Now, if you look at faith in the, how faith is used in the Bible, we'll take two examples. For instance, in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 and verse 5, Paul writes these words. He says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So we see now that how faith is used in Scripture is that faith is anchored in God. Faith is built upon God. Faith is built on God. You don't build your faith on the wisdom of men, as Paul says here. That's why he says his word, his teaching, did not come with enticing words of men's wisdom, so that the faith of those who were listening to him and following him would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So put your faith in the power of God. Believe in what the power of God can achieve for you. Believe in what the power of God can do for you. The other one is, you know, when you talk about faith, you're always going to find that in the way it is used in the Bible, it is always connected with faithfulness. In Romans chapter 3, verse 3, the Bible says, "For what if some did not believe? What if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?" You see, you've got to remain faithful to your faith in God. You've got to remain faithful to your conviction and your persuasion to what God says and to his word. That's why he says, if others do not believe, shall that make the faith of God without effect? Not at all. In other words, don't lose your faith simply because other people are losing their faith and they are, you know, letting go of their faith. Remain always in faith. Stay in faith and keep believing what God says. Now, I want us to quickly look at the element of faith. Faith, we build our faith in the invisible God as distinct from faith in men. We build our faith in the invisible God as distinct from faith in men. Now, let's look at that. What is that? What does that mean? Number one, it's a firm conviction producing a full acknowledgement of both revelation or truth. In other words, live your life by revelation knowledge. Live your life according to the truth of the word of God. Number two, faith in the invisible God is a personal surrender to him. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to be called his children." In other words, faith is a personal surrender to God. You surrender to him as his child. You surrender to him as your father. Number three, faith in the invisible God is a conduct inspired by such surrender. You see it when you look at 2 Corinthians 5, 17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So now your conduct, You begin to behave in a way that is inspired by your surrender to God as his child and as him being your father. Number four, it is a faith that does not rest on an opinion held in good faith, but faith that rests on God himself. An example of that is Abraham. We read his story like in Romans chapter 4, verse 17, and then verse 20 and 21. Paul relates the story of how Abraham believed God and had his faith anchored in God. Now, the next point that I want us to look at is, in order to move beyond the past and glorify God, is deal with anxiety from a standpoint of faith. It means, I'm going to bring 2 points here. Number one is continually offer prayer with faith firmly anchored in God. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, or don't be anxious about anything, but in all things through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So you need to be careful not to tolerate anxiety or worry, because it will ruin your soul. God alone can help you, and he will do so. He will be able to help you if you will pray about everything that happens and give thanks to God for everything. The second point, according to Luke chapter 10, verse 4-24, you will read the story in your time. The Bible, you know, teaches us to align our priorities right. You need to prioritize those things that are important. Now, I wanted to move over into the writings of Jeremiah quickly. In chapter 29, we read from verse 8 up to verse 13. He says, for thus says the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners be in the midst of you, deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which you cause to be dreamed. They prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after these 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you. Listen to that. In causing you to return to this place. For I know the thought I think toward you, said the Lord, thought of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That phrase, expected end, simply means a future. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Now, that's what it means. It means your future is in God's hands. You need to keep your faith in the fact that your future is in God's hands. Don't worry about your future. It's in the hands of the Lord. God has already taken care of you. He says he knows the thoughts he thinks toward you. Why? Because he performs his good word toward you. Glory be to God. Now, Philippians 1 verse 6, Paul concurs with this, and he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I just want to give you the full assurance that God will give you your future. He will perform the good work which he has started. He will finish everything that he has started in your life. And in conclusion, I read Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 and 34. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Listen, don't worry about your future. Don't be anxious about your future. It's in God's hands. If your faith is entered in God, you know that your future is in God's hands. Because in verse 19 of Isaiah 43, he said, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. If you put your faith in God, he will make a way where there is no way. He will make a way in the wilderness and a way even where there are rivers. May the good Lord continue to bless you as you continue to deal effectively with your past events. God bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560.
toll-free international callers. 1-888-201-5313.
Well, 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 greetings, greetings to everyone listening to Finding My Way Radio World from the USA. And we thank God that we are greeting you from the Republic of South Africa. My name is Benjamin Kuswani, and yes, this is your Destined for Glory program. And we thank God that this is the moment again we celebrate to be alive in Christ Jesus. And we can declare, lift up our voices and declare, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank God for yet another day that He has granted for us to rejoice in His presence, and most of all, to open up to the unadulterated, inerrant, undeniable, unchangeable word of the living God. This is the word that He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall abide forever. So we greet you right now in the name of Jesus Christ, the name that God has exalted, that it be the name that is above every other name, and that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue confess that He, Jesus Christ, is Lord, even unto the glory of God our Father. So let's pray together right now as we prepare ourselves for the Word of God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you again for yet another day that you made for us to rejoice and be glad in. And Father, we thank you that even as we separate ourselves unto your word, unto you, we are receiving life from your word. And I pray for every listener right now. I speak the release of your word, the creative power of your word, the interceptive power of your word, the governmental authority of your word into every situation and every circumstance that every listener might be going through right now. And we declare in the name of Jesus that the power of your word is able to bring forth the desire of your heart, Father, in the spirit, in the soul, in the body, in the character, and in the material, in the relationship. We receive, therefore, your word as the word that is able to pierce through to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, bone and marrow, and searching the intents of our heart, and most of all, transforming us and giving us the desires that are of your heart. Father, I pray, let your word bring hope, let your word bring healing right now, let your word bring restoration unto somebody's life in the name of Jesus. And by faith, we receive the power of your word manifesting your supernatural intents in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, dear listener, as we have been going through, we are consumed, even as you know that the title of our program is Destined for Glory. We are consumed by this, that heaven has prepared to gather us unto the weight of the glory that God has preserved us for, and God has preserved that glory for in our lives. He's gathering us to the weight of that glory. Maybe if you want to understand it in a better way, in a way that will make it clear for you, there is nothing clearer than the word of God. And we thank God that God has created all things by his word. And when you remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, it says to us here, for our light affliction, know that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal, and then it says, weight of glory. So God is gathering us to that weight of glory. I do believe the principle of the weight of glory, it says to us, so that we will not be tossed to and fro by diverse winds of doctrine. Even as he says in Ephesians chapter 4, he says we have received the gift of the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers, to the intent that we may be brought to the fullness of the stature of the measure of Christ, so that having received we may not be tossed to and fro by diverse winds of doctrines. You see, my friend, the Spirit of God knew that we will be living in such a time as this, in a time where information is full all over the world. Remember that in the book of Daniel, chapter 4, when Daniel had seen and received the interpretations from God of the times that were coming, God said to Daniel, "Now, Daniel, close the book." In the vision, he says, "Close the book, for these things are for a time that is appointed, a time that is still coming." And then he closed by saying, "For knowledge shall increase." Yes, this is the season that I believe the Spirit of God in the book of Daniel was seeing about us, that knowledge will increase. So it is in the midst of this knowledge that is increasing that we need to be gathered to the weight of the glory of God as he manifests himself in Christ Jesus, who is the very glory of God, in Christ Jesus, who is the Word himself. As the Word says in John chapter 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So, my friend, this is the weight. This is the weight of the Word we are preaching right now. For we are not speaking the words of this world. We are not speaking the words of the pride of the world. No, we are speaking the words that are power. For when we read the Word again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 20, the Word of God says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of words, but it is the matter of power." Yes, the kingdom of God is not a matter of words, but a matter of power. You see, a lot of words, my friend, can be just like the idling of a car. When a car, a vehicle, is just idling and it is not moving, you cannot gauge the power of that engine or of that car. But the minute you want to know the power of this car, you need to engage the gears of that car and begin to know the power from the first gear to the last gear. As you engage them, you need to know, you connect the power of that engine. In the same way, my brethren, we are at this place when our God is gathering us to the weight of his glory. So the question is, how do we navigate our position? How do we position ourselves? How do we stand in a way that can stay connected to the frequency of heaven so that we will be gathered to the weight of the glory of God? I believe the greatest challenge that we will focus on today is the challenge of our faith. I believe God is calling us to the place of faith again. Yes, faith again. And we are going to embrace this confirmation of the call of God for this season as faith again, as we read in the Word from the book of St. Luke. We're going to read from the book of St. Luke together, St. Luke chapter 18. As we read St. Luke chapter 18, where Jesus is giving the parable of a widow woman who troubled the judge for the judge to fight for her cause or for her case. But now at the end of this parable, Jesus gives the lesson out of it. He gives the lesson out of it, how this woman troubled the judge. And Jesus said in St. Luke chapter 18 and verse 6, "The Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said." What did the unjust judge say? The unjust judge had just responded and said, "Even though I'm a hard man, even though I have no regard for God or for man, but the way this woman is continually troubling me to fight for her case, I have no alternative, but I will have to help her, lest she weary me." Now Jesus is picking it up from there, where we are reading in verse 6. He says, "Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God therefore avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them?" Jesus is asking, if this judge who's hard of heart, He is judged who have no compassion naturally, have been impacted by the continual pestering of this woman, widow woman. If this judge could turn around and show mercy on the widow woman, shall not God, Jesus is asking, shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? Now note that Jesus is using the word elect, the elect of God. Why? Because he has already come as the Messiah. He was connecting that I have come for the election, for those that were connected, God's election, by receiving salvation even through faith. And that's why he says, will God not avenge his elect who cry unto him day and night, though he bears long with them? Note that. He says, God will avenge. But here is the challenge. He says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. But nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Jesus is asking the question, will the Son of Man find faith when he returns or when he comes on the earth? This is a question, my brother and my sister, that I believe is facing us in this hour, in the midst of all the noises of the world. From the four corners of the world, we even see the fulfillment of the prophecies of Matthew chapter 24, where Jesus warned us about the times of the end, where he said, in the end time, we shall see and hear of the rumors of the wars. We shall hear of earthquakes. Today, we are not only hearing of them, we see the earthquakes in Mexico. We see the hurricanes out in the United States of America. We see storms throughout all the world, all the things that Jesus spoke about. He said, these things shall come before the end comes. These things now are here. The question is, how will we stand? Number one, in the very Matthew 24, Jesus said in verse 8, when you see of these things, he said, do not marvel at them, for they are but just the beginning of the birth pains. They are the beginning of sorrows. It's like creation is travailing in the midst of this, and creation is travailing to see the elect of God, the sons of God. And the question is, how will the sons of God stand in the midst of all that going on right now? As we read that Luke 18, it says to us, the sons of God, the elect of God, will connect for the manifestation of the glory of God in the earth by standing in faith. Yes, by connecting the faith that Jesus wondered about, that will the Son of God find faith when he comes? Will he find faith in the earth? And I do believe that you and I are still right here in the earth to connect the elect call of faith. And how will we then connect this call of faith? This is how it will happen. The mandate and the challenge for us about faith is no longer just to talk faith, but to clean up the channel of faith. I believe the Spirit of God is working at the cleansing of the channel of faith, so that our faith will be purified. The channel of our faith will be purified so that we can intently hear what heaven is saying in the midst of all that's going on in the world. Because I know and I believe, my friend, that you and I bear witness that this Satan that is taking place throughout the world, it's summoning us to a place of going beyond what we see with our eyes. Why? Because the clean channel of faith teaches us that we do not walk by sight, but we walk by faith. So back to the question that Jesus is asking. He says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth. Listen to the question. Will he could have just said, will he find faith? But he uses that word. Will he really find faith? Which means, will he find truthful faith? Will he find purified faith? Will he find focused faith? Faith without destruction. And will he find quality faith? That's the question. Will it be truthful? Will it be focused? Will it be quality faith that he will find in the earth? I believe Jesus asked this question knowing that there will be some kinds of believing or beliefs that are so unreal, yet they can somehow sway even the minds of the elect. And the challenge is, will he find faith? Let's find out what kind of faith is Jesus expecting to find when he comes. This is the faith like of a woman who is robbed of justice, who is robbed of that which is rightfully hers, or of that which the enemy has tried to rob her of. The kind of faith that Jesus is looking forward to find in the earth, my friend, is faith where you and I are ready to press through. You and I are ready to connect that, yes, we are the elect of God. We are standing in Christ Jesus, who declared that upon the rock of my revelation, I build my church, and the gates of hell, which is the expressions of evil, which is the injustices that I believe this woman was facing. And Jesus is saying, when I come, will I find the faith that is able to stand upon the rock of my foundation and square up with the manifestations of evil, square up with the gaze of hell, the expressions of evil of the day, and be able to break through and say, we break through the judgment standard of the day. What is this? When Jesus used the parable of the judge, you must understand with me that the judge speaks about the ultimate standard of judgment in a territory. The ultimate judgment standard in a territory. But right now, even as we broadcast worldwide, we are no longer just talking about the standard of judgment in a territory. We're talking about the standard of judgment throughout the whole world, where every creation is affected equally right now. And God knew about this situation, and that's why in the book of Romans again, chapter 8 and verse 19, he says, creation means all over the world, there is a travail, there is a groaning, there is a yearning for the manifestation of the sons of God. Who are the sons of God? According to the scripture that we have read today, Luke 18, it means the elect of God. So Jesus is saying, will he, the Son of Man, when he comes, will he really find faith? It is time to check your faith and my faith. Even as the Apostle Paul warned in some place in Corinthians, and he says to them, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. It is the same way with which Jesus is expressing concern to say, will the Son of Man find faith? Which means, what kind of faith are you standing on? Is it a feeble faith that doubts? Is it a feeble faith that depends on what you see, what you hear, and what you're feeling? Or will it be the quality faith that is focused and that is truthful, that will be able to withstand the judgment standard of the day and say, even if the world is going this way, I am ready, for I have waited upon God. You see, this kind of faith, my brother, when it speaks about focused, it is the faith that speaks about being intently waiting on God. Yes. Just like he says in Isaiah chapter 40, and he says in verse 30, he says, though the young men stumble and fall, and though the young ones may fall down, says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What does this mean? They that wait upon the Lord. They that wait. That word wait is the word in the Hebrew Kabbalah. This word that speaks about intently focused. Intently focused. The word wait there is from where we get the word of a waiter, as in a restaurant, as in an eating place. You find a waiter standing by to serve you. Now, when a waiter stands by to serve you, even after putting things on the table, the waiter does not go away forever. The true waiter, the trained waiter, will keep on coming onto you to wait on you. He'll keep on disturbing you. She'll keep on disturbing you and saying to you, is everything okay? Is everything going on? That's the principle of the waiter that Jesus, or rather that the Word of God, is using right here. So this is the kind of faith that Jesus is looking forward to meet when he returns. The faith of those that wait, that intently engages with God, just like the waiter engages with the people he's serving. God is saying, they that wait on the Lord, which means they that trouble the Lord, they that press in unto the Lord, they that keep on asking God, can you imagine this? Saying to God, Daddy, are you okay? Father, are you all right? Is it okay? And then he says, no, my son, I want you to walk this way. And said, Daddy, are you okay? Is it okay? He says, no, my daughter, just halt it a little bit. Go this way. Go that way. This is the kind of waiting faith. The faith of waiting is the faith of intently focusing on him, intently engaging with him. Because if you don't engage with him, your strength cannot be renewed. He says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, which means you wait on God, you are like eating on him. You are like provoking him. Do you know that many waiters that do it so well, that are so careful to engage with the people that they are serving, they are the ones that get the best tip at the end. They are the ones who receive the best tip when the payments take place. And I do believe the best tip for you and I, if we hold on with the faith that is truthful, that is focused, and that is of quality, when we wait with that kind of wait, here is our tip. It's more than a tip. He says, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, which means they will not be like the generation that is feeding from the man-made things. No, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They will never be like a generation waiting to be parachuted onto the mountain. No, they've got strength from God. They have waited on him, and they can go up the mountain, mount up with wings like eagles. And he says, they shall run and not be weary. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the same way that God is looking and preparing that when Jesus returns, this kind of faith will be the receptor faith, the meeting faith, the consummation faith, that as he returns, he will find in the earth. So my friend, this is not time for you and I to give up in any way. This is not the time for you and I to be discouraged in the midst of all that are happening. I hear the sound of the Spirit declaring that the storms are raging, but the eagles are rising on the wings of the storm. Yes, storms are raging, but the eagles are rising on the wings of the storm. So this is the time to clean up the channel of our faith. What is this about the channel of faith? It is Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, as we draw to the close of our program today. Let's look at it together. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. He says here to us, for you were saved by grace through faith. You were saved by grace through faith. Now, I want you to know that. Saved by grace through faith. And he says, and that not of yourself. Yes, which means this is the time now for the faith that is a purified channel. Why channel? Because we are saved by grace. What grace? The grace that is revealed unto all men in Titus 2:11. The grace that brings salvation. That is revealed unto all men. Appealed unto all men. But he says, you are saved by the grace, but through faith. Which means faith is the channel whereby the grace of God is channeled into individual life. You might be listening and say, I have not yet given my life to Jesus, but I want you to know this. The grace of God is available for you. The grace of God is available for you and I, that by faith, which is the channel that God is giving us as the way of channeling the grace of God in our lives, that by faith, through faith, we can see the grace of God channeled in our lives, so that the grace of God will begin to manifest the righteousness of God in our lives. How so? Because in Titus chapter 2:11 that we refer to, he says, the grace of God that brings salvation is available unto all men. And then he says, the same grace teaches us to live godly lives away from the lusts of the world in this present time, in this present age, in this present world, which means it is not by your might and my power or the might and power, but it is by the Spirit of God working through the channel of faith, working to manifest the righteousness that is of the grace of God. He says, it is not of your works, yes, any man should boast. It is not of our work, lest any man should boast. So in this season of all boastfulness and pride, God is saying the grace of God that brings salvation is available to you, my friend. So what time is this for us in the world as the church and as the people who hear the word such as this? This is the time to clean up the channel of your faith from every contamination. And as we clean up our channels, we receive the saving grace of God through Jesus Christ that manifests the righteousness of God in our life and through our life. So receive your portion today, my friend. Receive your portion and keep waiting. We will go on to the cleansing of the channel of faith for the manifestation of the glory of God to cover the earth, even as the waters cover the sea, all to the glory of Jesus Christ, upon whose revelation we stand to declare victory over every gate of hell, over every manifestation of evil, even in your life. You can silence everything that is not of God by receiving Jesus Christ and by declaring him Lord of all in your life. So be blessed, my friend. As we part again, we shall meet in this, our program, Destined for Glory. God richly bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.